Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
And good morning. It is 9:07. I'm Mike Dover, and joining me in the studio right now, always happy to have her in the studio, because I was thinking, boy, this is going to be on the phone, but hey, we got her in the studio. Former Congresswoman Yvette Harrell, candidate for District 2. Yvette Harrell.
And, I'm here.
Yeah, you are here. It's great to have you here. I tell you what, it's just a thrill. And I got your gentleman's name that...
Casey.
Casey.
Yeah.
Send me some talking points. And before we jump into them, I want to get your reaction from this statement from Gabe Vasquez. Let me bring it up here. So,
U.S. Congressman Gabe Vasquez introduced a resolution to the U.S. House of Representatives denouncing Republican leadership for, quote, inaction on crucial immigration reform and border security measures. During a virtual press conference, Vasquez said that the lack of meaningful legislative progress on border issues has negatively affected his own district.
The impact of the broken immigration system is felt deeply in communities like mine, and the lack of action on this is not just a political issue, but it's a humanitarian issue.
Well, Yvette, I'd have to agree with him on one point, that it is a humanitarian issue as well, and a hard issue on our folks out of the Southwest. But first, let me say good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. It's always great to be here, and especially in person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no kidding. This is fantastic. Well, you heard that comment, and after a week of blaming Republicans, and we know the president, all he has to do, which he's really good about, is issuing executive orders, he could shut down this border. But let's talk about this vote, because this thing was buried in over 1,000 pages of support for Ukraine and other stuff, and the Republicans did not want to support Ukraine, and so now this gives him the opportunity to reflect back on us that the Republicans did not want to secure the border.
Right, it does. But the truth of the matter is, even though those aid packages passed on last Saturday, they had HR 3602, which was in the Border Catastrophe Act, and Gabe Vasquez voted no. So, you know, 2 weeks ago he introduced a House resolution for everybody to set their political differences aside, come to the table and start working on meaningful border, you know, border security, immigration reform, and yet voted no then 10 days later on this. But he's also voted no on restarting the building of the wall, on ending catch and release, on implementing the Remain in Mexico, on deploying technology to the southern and northern borders, and increasing the number of border agents. I mean, he's also voted no on reforming the asylum process, which would be a great part of the immigration process. I mean, we have two things going, border security and immigration reform, but certainly reforming the asylum process would be a giant step. And let's not forget, last January, the House passed on a party line vote, House HR 1, which was the most comprehensive standalone border security bill that's ever been introduced, and he voted no. So I find it fascinating that, you know, 6.5 months away from an election, that he's starting to say these things. But let's look at the board, you know, the voting record tells the story.
Yeah.
You know, he can say whatever he wants, but his voting record tells a completely different story. And I hope people realize that.
Well, they need to. I want to touch on one thing here, the asylum issue.
Yeah.
It just seems like now on the left side that no matter what the reason you're coming here, you can have a surge at the border, whatever. They're all asylum seekers.
Right.
That's not the truth.
That is not the truth. I mean, they are all the ones that are coming here and trying to do it the right way, you know, are in a separate category because they are going through the process, and it should be expedited. It should not take years and years and cost thousands of dollars. But, you know, on asylum, the actual percentage of people that are migrating to our borders, mostly the southern border, you know, if they're truly seeking asylum, then they have to go to the first port of entry they find after they leave their original country, which there is, you know, two or three countries before they get to American southern border. So that's, you know, the percentage is small. There are some that definitely are seeking asylum, but, you know, everybody's just using that, oh, I'm seeking asylum, but we have now just overrun, you know, the Border Patrol. We've overrun, you know, our communities. We've put such pressure on our schools, our medical facilities, law enforcement. I mean, it is unbelievable what's happening. And you said it earlier, the Biden administration could stop this with an executive order, and they won't. Because if he does it now, then people of this nation will realize he could have done it, you know, 2 years ago, three years ago. And we introduced dozens of bills. I myself introduced bills when I was in Congress to help suppress this border crossing and keep this manageable and stop this influx. And yet here we are, what, almost 8 million people have come into the nation. And then not to mention, you know, the thousands of Chinese migrants that have gotten here that are actually setting up shop in terms of in Maine and Oklahoma, you know, these cannabis, you know, growers. I mean, suddenly they're doing all kinds of things in our country, and our resources are so limited now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cartel know who's here. I think China knows who's here.
Yeah.
Other nations know who's here, but Americans do not. And that's what's very frightening to me.
And I think China knows where all of our military bases are,
sure,
because that's where a lot of them are going, getting close to those. So,
sure.
On the asylum seekers, and what's going on at the southern border, 8 million,
yeah,
8 million come across, and the only thing I can figure out is why the left does not want to shut down this border.
Yeah,
is they're looking to increase congressional seats, and,
yeah, maybe.
By the population.
Yeah.
Now, are they actually trying to register these people to vote?
I have no idea, but it would almost seem like they are, because, you know, now you can register to vote through any agency, you know, mm-hmm. DMV, you know, you go and get any kind of assistance from the federal government or from the state government, you have the opportunity to register to vote. You know, of course, we live in a state where you don't have to show any ID, you don't have mm-hmm. to even prove that you're a citizen. So it's alarming to me. But it's more alarming to hear somebody say that they want to secure the border, that they introduced a laughable bill to put our differences aside, and then 5 days later, Gabe votes no on a border bill. You know, it's just crazy. And so I hope the people of New Mexico are waking up, you know, and you're right. The Biden administration really caused this, and it could have been addressed 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But it's been such an unfair practice to allow the American people to be placed in harm's way, and not to mention the national security piece of this whole thing. You know, and I'm glad that Casey sent you, you know, that list of bills. When you said talking points, he sent you that list of bills that Gabe has voted no on, because I think it's important that we're having very honest conversations about how our congressional delegation is voting. And, you know, and it's unfortunate that there have been a handful of bills that have been meaningful that, you know, 58 Democrats have voted to support some of these border measures. Mm. Not our people, not any of our delegation. So it's really unfortunate. But when you have somebody in Congress that votes no on deporting an illegal immigrant that kills a police officer, then something is very wrong with this picture.
Kills anybody, it's wrong.
Kills anybody. Well, the Lake and Riley Act voted no on that, which would have given ICE the authority to arrest those that have a criminal record. I mean, so don't come back to New Mexico or go on TV and talk about the border crisis and the Republicans are at fault when the administration took away every policy that was working under the Trump administration, when there have been multiple bills to stand up and say, yeah, we need to pass this so that we can start securing America's future, our communities. You know, look at the lawlessness. Look at the uptick in fentanyl deaths. Look at the, you know, pressure on our law enforcement, our small communities, our farmers, our ranchers. It goes on and on, Mike.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, so it's very, it's insincere, and really his, you know, it's just unfortunate that he would say this and then think that people are too dumb to go look at a voting record or go figure out these voting records for themselves. So I'm just here to help educate.
there you go. Well, let's take a look at the history of this thing. Let's go back when Biden took office. One of the first things he did was overturn all of former President Trump's border policies.
Yeah.
So open the border up. Then Biden comes back and says the problem with the border is President Trump's fault.
Yes.
You know, and then they vote against every cotton picking border control issue vote. And then they say it's Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
Now, they've opened up the border. They voted against these policies. You would think that sometimes they would say, we either got to own this or we got to do something about it and get this done.
Yeah, and they won't. And what's sad is when I was in Congress, we had a number of bills introduced to start putting pressure, you know, on the cartel and on other countries. Even the president of Guatemala, you know, came to our office and said, look, when this president campaigned on he was going to open up the border, stop the border wall with no consequences, well, of course, the floodgates are open. And then look what happened, you know, just what, 2 or 3 weeks ago at the border wall down in El Paso, where 142 migrants charged the fence, got through. And do you know the judge dropped the charges on those 140 people? I mean,
wow.
You know, but yet you do something wrong, you know, you act out and you're going to get a ticket, you're maybe go to jail, you know, your reputation. And yet here we are just being okay with those that are, I remember, breaking the law to get here. And most of these people that, especially in that video, young adult men, you know, work age men, I'm not seeing a bunch of them, you know, going to work. I still see a lot of signs of help wanted, not going through the process and then being absorbed into our, you know, into the interior of this nation, and nobody knows where they are. But I did find something kind of funny, and it's serious, but it is kind of telling. This was on the news week before last, that, you know, the surge of migrants coming across the southern border in the El Paso sector, you know, even the newscaster said that a lot of these migrants are moving further north into the interior of the country because the economics in this state of New Mexico are not great. And I think that's pretty telling when people that are breaking the law getting to New Mexico and then going, oh yeah, you know, it's not a great place to do business.
We're
it's
going up great, to Texas, yeah, Oklahoma, Kansas,
exactly.
In that area.
I mean, that's a pretty sad day when migrants and coyotes and cartel know that New Mexico is not a great place to do business or thrive.
Yeah.
Says something about the leadership in our own state, honestly. So I felt like that was kind of an interesting statement. And, you know, they said it on the news, but it's just terrible what's happening. And it is just, you know, the kids should not be sheltering in place in these schools down in Santa Teresa.
Yeah.
You know,
the
Border Patrol should not have to be saying out loud, they've, you know, these migrants have taken over, you know, the monument down in Santa Teresa down there. I mean, I hear it every day when we meet with folks down in Santa Teresa, Sunland Park, just the helicopters, the uptick in people, the nervousness of crime on the streets and feeling unsafe. You know, this is the United States of America, you know, greatest country in the world. And we have people, you know, that are afraid to live in their neighborhoods because of this open border. And yet we still have homeless veterans on the streets that do not get the help they deserve and need. But we're certainly willing to give debit cards and money and transportation and medical and housing to people that, again, are breaking the law. It's completely backwards, Mike. You know, the American people have been set aside, and we're going to, you know, this administration and Congress, you know, these Democrats are pushing for this agenda that allows people to break the law and come here, no consequences, just like it is now in our, you know, in our criminal justice system, quite honestly.
Absolutely. And I tell you one thing, that I saw this report, and it was on a lot of the news. The one thing to really be concerned about was there was a man that come across on over in Texas from one of the Arab nations. He said, you don't know who I am now, but you will.
I saw that.
You know, now if you're not concerned about that,
that's right,
you got a problem.
It doesn't matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent. The number one thing is you're an American, and we should be very concerned about who is coming into this country. And I'm very worried because, you know, the resources have been spread so thin. And when I say resources, I mean men and women on the ground, the Border Patrol, you know, the ICE agents, you know, the communities, law enforcement, the Sheriff's Association. You know, David Black, our sheriff, our great sheriff, is involved with the Western Sheriff's Association. In fact, I think he and Sheriff Helton, Corey Helton from Lee County, really kind of has spearheaded those conversations, those meetings, working with sheriffs from around the country because of this influx of illegal activity, people here illegally in every state, you know, is a border state. And, you know, it's time to say we're Americans. You know, this is America, and the value of the American people has to trump the value of those breaking the law to get into this country. And, you know, my heart goes out because I know there are folks that want to come here the right way and create a better lifestyle for themselves or their families. But Mike, if we don't get a handle on this and stop all of this, we're going to create in the United States of America the same thing that they're running from.
A third world country.
In Venezuela or Cuba or wherever. And, you know, there is no place for us to go.
Right.
You know, there is not going to be a country with their arms wide open saying, come on, Americans, you know, you let your government, you know, let you down. You failed your constitution. No one is going to take us in. I mean, this is very dire. And, you know, all of this has major consequences to the future of this country.
Yeah, I mean, where would you want to go? Canada?
Yeah.
No, you know, I don't think so.
You're right.
You know, I mean, where else? We can't go back to Mexico. No, that's a bad idea. There is no place. We are the last stand.
We are for freedoms, for a republic like this, who is built on a constitution that has worked. Mm-hmm. Until you get people in office and start making decisions and these special interest groups and, you know, that have taken over. And what scares me is there's been a lack of, you know, willingness for people to stand up and say, this is wrong. I mm-hmm. mean, look what's happening on the college campuses.
Yeah.
And a lot of these kids that are protesting, they don't even know what they're doing. That needs to be shut down. I mean, what happens, Mike? When are we going to wake up and go, wait a minute, when they, you know, look what happened in Germany. Look what Hitler did. Mm-hmm. Is it going to get that severe before Americans go, whoa, this is bad? It's bad now, and it's worse for future generations.
Well, it definitely seems that with these kids on the college campuses now yelling, we are Hamas, I think they better understand that that's a terrorist organization, and we do things with terrorists.
Yeah.
You know, and they better stop and think, you know, and I think the thing that bothers me the most is you get Gaza and Hamas who are started crossing the border into Israel to a music concert, killed people, then ran back and say, don't retaliate.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You know, you're evil if you retaliate against us.
Yeah, and I think that there's a large number of people on these campuses that don't even know what they're protesting. You know, they're just doing it. But in the United States of America, that we would now allow Columbia University to finish the semester online because of the fear that the students have, especially the Jewish students, even the Jewish, you know, professors. I mean, right away. Now, if I were in charge, I'd pull every bit of federal funding. I would mandate that these students get expelled. I would fire any of the professors that are taking part of it. I mean, stop it. This is the United States of America. This is not some third world country. This is not what we stand for. And yet we're allowing them, you know, they want to negotiate with these protesters and, you know, they want to, you know, kind of make sure they're using kid gloves with everybody. Forget it. We got to strengthen our country, and we got to do it now. And I'm so proud of Abbott and DeSantis for standing up and saying, we're not doing that here. I mean, there's no place for that. But if we don't, you know, people are saying, oh, it's spreading to these other, you know, universities. No, no, this hate, these small groups have been here for a long time, and this has just been their moment to shine, you know, down in at UC Berkeley and some of these California colleges and, you know, of course, the Ivy League schools. This is something that is deeply rooted in our nation, and it's time for Americans to act, and it's time for Congress and this administration to act. But Biden has been trying to play, you know, he supports Israel, but then he says, but I hope people can understand the Palestinian point of view. Okay, you can't have this one both ways. It's just kind of like the Russia invasion and the Ukraine. I mean, you got to pick a side here, you know, and stand your ground and start building strength in our nation.
Well, you don't release $6 billion to one country that funds Hamas, funded this, and then claim Gaza and Hamas are victims.
Right.
He's funding both sides of this war.
He's been doing it, and you know, he's trying to, and don't think that the countries around the world aren't paying attention to the weakness that we have in the White House right now. You know, that's just, you know, trying to set sanctions, but then it really benefits the ability for, say, for instance, Russia to sell energy to other European countries. I mean, it's just, it is such a head scratcher that we would see somebody in the White House of the United States of America try to play both sides of every issue. And this is why I think we saw the spy, you know, the spy drone come across from China. No consequences there.
Yeah.
We've got all these, you know, young men coming in from China, from other countries. Nobody's saying anything. They're not, you know, they're not pushing back. And the pressure we're putting on the American people that want law and order and safe borders and a strong nation, you know, we're being drowned out by the much smaller percentage of people that are protesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, come on, guys, wake up, because it's all we got, and we've got to fight for it.
You're definitely not standing for America on that. I want to go back to Gabe Vasquez here for a minute, because you've seen him. He's got TV commercials going that he's reduced drug prices. Well, yeah. I've got a friend in New Mexico that's diabetic. He said his insulin prices have not come down.
No, I know. It's crazy. I mean, I'm telling you, we're 6.5 months away from the election. The one I think is funny is, you know, he introduced a bill. He actually admitted that the economy is not great. It's bad.
Yeah.
So he introduced a bill to put $900 back in every American pocket. Okay. The thing of it is it's a bit of a tax credit, but this is a cost of in the billions for it to even go. It's never going to go anywhere. He knows it. Everybody knows it. But it sounds good. Hey, I can put $900 back in your pocket. You know what, Mike? I got an idea how we can put $900 back into people's pockets into perpetuity. How about we support American energy?
Mm-hmm.
We get our costs down in terms of our gas, mm-hmm. our oil, our utilities. How about we bolster American-made products and take these regulations and these mandates and these rules off the backs of our small businesses, off our farmers and ranchers? How about we stop taking land away from those who need it to raise beef cattle in terms of these monument grabs and these designations?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can tell you, we can do things in America right now to help kickstart this economy and put more money back in our pocket. But spending, you know, billions of dollars to give everybody a one-time check of $900, it is the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. And yet, if people are not educated, if they don't know, if they don't read the bills, if they're not paying attention, you hear the ad of, oh, the insulin or $900 back in my pocket. Well, yeah. Well, it's not, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Well, there's no...
that's just what we got to remember.
Yeah, well, and I think the thing to remember is with that cost of living has skyrocketed, inflation has skyrocketed, that $900 isn't going to replace 2 months of what you've paid in gas and groceries or even eating out. You spent more than $900 a month just on that in this last 2.5 years.
Every family in New Mexico is paying over $1,000 a month additional to their normal cost of living because of Bidenomics. I mean, I'm in the grocery store the other day just walking through, and there is a box of cookies, ginger snaps, $6.48.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Used to be $1.25.
Exactly. And so, you know, to think that you can put $900 back in somebody's pocket, yeah, it sounds great till you do the math.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's connected to a tax credit, but then the cost to give that money out. I mean, we're sitting here watching the dollar be devalued every single day.
Yeah.
We're putting more debt on the back of our kids and grandkids. What are we, $35 trillion in debt? I mean, printing more money to pass bills is crazy. And very little oversight, still not a lot of oversight with the COVID funding. And listen, we've been having problems for years. It's not just in the last 4 or 5.
Right.
But the COVID spending and then this, you know, Green New Deal and all these bills that are being passed to bolster the green energy and get rid of all of fossil fuels by 2030, 2050, you know, and try to prop up these alternative energy sources. Look, I'm an all of the above energy person.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a realist, and we cannot move away and divorce ourselves from, you know, traditional energy, you know, from our fossil fuels. I mean, we don't even have, I've been looking around your studio and I'm thinking, if everything in here touched by a fossil fuel vanished, all those cases on those CDs, probably all those
CDs. Computers.
Our phones, you know, everything.
Nothing.
And there's not a backup plan.
Yeah.
Because when the wind is blowing and they can get energy from the wind turbines, they're not making any other product like they are with the fossil fuels, with the byproducts of, you know, petroleum. You know, when the sun is shining and we can get some electricity out of those panels, that's great. But that's not producing anything else. That's not producing medicine. It's not producing clothing, makeup, you know, the plastics. So we got to think this through and be smart. And in our nation, we have come a long way and, in fact, lead the charge in terms of, you know, doing it in a way that's environmentally safe,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's more affordable. You know, we produce great energy, and yet here they are. I just saw another rule which drives me crazy. These departments that are now doing these rules, you know, they're not going through Congress. They're just making up these rules, you know, to really, it's going to be harmful for offshore producers. Yeah. And it just, it's like, hello, you know, maybe in New Mexico, we don't think about that because we live in a desert state. You know, there's obviously not any kind of ocean nearby, but the byproducts, you know, the products that do come to market, you know, but again, pushing these electric vehicles. I mean, I talked to a dealer up in Rito, so he sold one electric vehicle in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And under, for instance, this administration in our state, which is just kind of following what the federal administration wants, it'll put that dealer out of business, just like it will a bunch of others. We're just, it's just insane what we're doing. And I just feel bad for everybody right now because there's so much coming at the American people, whether it's, you know, the limit on fossil fuels or traditional energy, you know, the global setting, these wars, these, you know, these aid packages to foreign nations, but not securing our own border, the death toll that's going up every day from fentanyl, you know, the drugs that are being brought into this country, the human trafficking, the, you know, the property damage, the, you know, from people down in and around the border, the closing of medical facilities. I always get kind of just shake my head when I hear, you know, I think the Congress delegation had a little round table last week about the lack of medical services. We're losing them because these smaller communities can't absorb the costs that they are now having to undertake because of treating not Americans, but those that are here again illegally. It's not rocket science,
right?
How we have to get our nation back on track, but we just can't afford for people to get lax about it or think there's nothing I can do or it's always going to be this way, because this is not the country we grew up in. Not even close. And it's time, you know, we start having these conversations with one another and get out and vote and start pushing back, calling our congressmen, calling our senators, calling our governor's office, putting pressure on these candidates. Ask the tough questions.
Yeah. I called Gabe Vasquez's office once.
Yeah.
And the first thing they asked me was, what is your political affiliation? I said, I'm Republican. And they hung up on me.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Can you believe that? I'm one of his constituents.
I met with the director. She's not the cabinet secretary of the Veterans Department here in the state, but she's a field director. She went to D.C. She went to his office. He is standing like 4 feet away, and she said to the receptionist, you know, I'm from New Mexico. I'm with the VA. I want to visit with, you know, the congressman. And they said he doesn't take walk-ins. And she's looking at Gabe
while
the receptionist is saying that, and he refused to see her. That is not representation.
No.
It doesn't matter the party. And to me, right now, the party affiliation has gotten in the way of relationship, of really having meaningful conversations about what's important to our families, to our kids, you know, to our businesses, to our country as a whole, to this republic. I mean, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it really is. Well, one other thing I want to touch on, Yvette, and this is not on the thing. Gates got rid of Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at doing the same thing again. We got to stop this.
I get their frustration. I really do. But it's not going to solve anything.
No.
And honestly, I've seen and talked to too many people. I don't think it would work. I think there would be some Democrats that would vote to keep Mike Johnson in the chair. My thing is, you know, the bills that really kind of triggered that were the aid packages. And yes, 170 Republicans voted against it, and I probably would have as well, just because of that leverage for securing the border. But I think we're at a place, you know, tensions are high. There's a lot of frustration. I don't know that that will go through. I mean, I don't know if they'll push it or not. But my feeling is, let's just take a little bit of a timeout. You know, we've got 6 or 7 months till the election. Let's try to work on focusing on extending that majority, you know, and then, you know what, have somebody else run for speaker when the Republicans hold the majority. But to kind of rock the boat now. But, you know, the truth is I can say that because I'm just looking from the outside in, but I'm not in the inside looking out. So I can't speak to it. But I hope that, you know, it'll just kind of, let's calm down. Let's get through this. But, yeah, it is unfortunate because that has, I don't think the conference has recovered from, you know, the ousting of Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
And I think that was horrible. So,
yeah.
So,
we're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
I think we need
more power to haul more and built to do more. It's the Ford F-Series, America's top-selling trucks.
152,942 Ford F-Series trucks sold in the first quarter of 2024, outselling the competition by more than 23,000 trucks.
Get America's top-selling truck, the Ford F-Series truck, at Vision Ford Lincoln. They have the vehicle you need and the vehicle you want. Get your vision where they say, yes, we can, at Vision Ford Lincoln, South White Sands in Alamogordo. And we're live now again, so... Well, we both needed a drink of water because we've been in a lot of discussion and stuff. But Yvette, one thing I saw was that, and I was like, nah, this can't be right, that you've changed your position on abortion.
Oh, I know. I've seen that too, and it's laughable.
Yeah.
You know, in the last cycle, that's all they talked about, abortion, abortion. I'm extreme because I support life. Mm-hmm. I have never changed my position. In fact, you know this, and even when I was a state rep, I have an amazing pro-life voting record.
Mm-hmm.
I introduced a lot of bills to eliminate late-term abortion and all that. And it's so funny because at a forum that I was at a couple of years ago, I was asked about some of the state legislation. And I said, yes, I wish we could have gotten rid of all abortion. Because at the time when I served in the state house, people didn't even realize that you could actually obtain an abortion up to day of birth in New Mexico already. Well, fast forward, I've never changed my stance on abortion. I'm absolutely pro-life. In fact, I co-sponsored the Life at Conception Act in Congress. Now, all of this is before Roe v. Wade was overturned. Once Roe v. Wade was overturned, it pushed all of the decision-making back to the states.
Yeah.
It's no longer a federal issue. I do not support a federal ban. I do not support feds getting involved. I mean,
right.
That's like moving the goalposts. What I do know is in our state, sadly, under this administration, you know, they were able to codify these bills into law. And that's why we have a $10 million abortion clinic over there in Doñana County. Have I changed my position? No way. I'm still pro-life. What I am saying now is if we want to make these changes, we got to change them on the state level. So that means who are we going to elect to this House, the Senate, the governor's race? But while we're at it, you know, let's make sure that young women and girls that find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy have a lot of options, whether it's counseling, whether it's the modern day adoption, whether it's financial assistance, whether it's support groups, whether it's preborn, which is where you can see that, you know, you can have the
ultrasound
done. I mean, let's make sure we're having honest conversations. We know that women that seek an abortion have access to the abortion clinics here.
Mm-hmm.
But let's make sure that we have other options available. And we're talking about birth control or you know, like I said, the counseling, the support groups, the adoption. Modern adoption is a newer one that gives the birth mother some options in terms of being engaged. But it's laughable. Again, they're going to beat me up on, I'm an extremist because I think we should protect life, you know, and I've never changed my position. They're trying to say that if Yvette gets in, she's going to eliminate all abortion for everybody. No, because it's not a federal issue. I don't support federal involvement anymore now that the Supreme Court weighed in, sent it back to the states. But let's do what we can on the state level to protect those.
You bet. And, you know, when people say there's no resources out there for women that are facing an unplanned pregnancy, I can tell you right here in Alamogordo with the Pregnancy Resource Center, ultrasounds, they have courses, they have support in food, clothing, different things. You can go to their classes, earn what's called block bucks, and you can, with this Monopoly money, basically get cribs, maternity clothes, food,
right,
baby clothes, diapers, all kinds of stuff.
And
so there is support.
There is support, and we need to be talking about that and highlighting it more instead of letting the narrative be driven of, you know, I'm an extremist because, I, you know, that's just crazy. You know, and believe me, there are a lot of people that are one-issue voters and life is their issue. But I will also tell you, Mike, there are a lot of people that even if they say that they are pro-choice, you know, that they think there should be some limits, they do not support abortion on demand up to day of birth or after in some cases, and they do not support taxpayer-funded abortion. So I feel like I've stayed very grounded, very rooted in who I am as a person and my convictions for life. And we need to talk more about these resources that are available because no one really hears about it. They just hear the extreme, you know. And what I don't want people to do, especially these young girls who think that's the only option they have, I don't believe that's true. I think there are some really great opportunities. And I know Windoso has a
pregnancy resource center.
They have a resource center there. I think they're everywhere, but we're just not hearing enough about them. And that's maybe what we should change the narrative. But again, you know, our borders wide open. People are dying every day from fentanyl. We've got unrest in the Middle East. We've got unrest with Israel. We've got college campuses blowing up. The dollar is not valued like it used to be. We've got people still without workforce in their businesses. We've got all of this happening, and that's the topic they're just on and on and on about. And I'm not afraid to talk about it. I want to make sure people know loud and clear, you know, it's not a federal issue. Now we need to focus on our state elected officials, and we cannot allow the federal government to get back involved in this. And that's why I'm very firm on not supporting a federal ban. And sadly, in our state, you can get an abortion up to day of birth. And that's why we hear of all these people coming from out of state. You know, it's a sad day when Senator Heinrich posts a couple months ago about how many abortions were performed in New Mexico and touts that like that's something to be proud of. Unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So we got to get back and we got to get God back in the middle of this conversation.
Absolutely. And I think it's what people need to understand. If someone says someone's extreme because they oppose abortion, think about the extremity of a person saying that, that brags about how many abortions they've had or that our state does.
Right.
That's extreme.
That is extreme.
That's the extreme part of the issue right there.
And you know, we're saying that I don't support a women's access to health care. I absolutely support women's access and men's and children's. Yes, do we need to improve our health care system in this state? We absolutely do. Mm-hmm. But some of that has to be done on the state level because of the liability, because of what we've done and seen done on our state legislative level. You know, we've put so much pressure on these liability and these lawsuits on our physicians. We're losing them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very difficult to recruit good physicians. Really, it's hard to recruit any professional in a state that has such a high crime rate, that has such high taxes, that has schools that are ranked 50th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm the extremist. I mean, I'm the one sitting here going, let's just put common sense back to work and then see how good our, because we aren't competitive with our regional states, but we could be. We deserve to be. Our state deserves better on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, and that's one thing I like about you, Yvette, because we've talked about the border. We've talked about the economy. We've talked about the personal issues. And I'm going to say this. Abortion is not women's health care. I'll get in trouble
for
that.
That's exactly right.
You know,
that's
so
exactly
it's not
right.
Health care at all. But your interest doesn't just lie in one or two issues. I mean, you're looking at the entire issue. You're not just looking at New Mexico. You're looking at our country as well.
That's right.
And these things, this inflation is really causing a lot of problems. And I think that we have people that cannot get people to work, can't fill their positions because something is going on why people are not going back to work. This is 2.5 years after the pandemic. Why are people not going back to work?
I think a lot of people have found a way to work around the system and receive those federal and state dollars.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to somebody recently that said, you know, they could have made more money by not going back to work than going back to work. We need to relook at the system. I do believe in a hand up. There are people that need it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There are some of our seniors. There are some that absolutely need a hand up. But for those that are working age, that are capable of holding down a job, you know, we're still giving them, you know, benefits that our veterans aren't getting. you know, that our homeless aren't getting, that a lot of people that are struggling to make ends meet aren't getting. You know, again, Mike, it's just common sense. Let's build a strong America, because we've disintegrated in terms of just, you know, the pride of ownership, if you will, of this nation over the last couple of decades. And it's time we build it back up and be strong in our faith, in our family, in our government, in our Constitution, and really be that star or that shining light on the hill. And we're not there right now. We're dimming. It's dimming a little bit, but there are a lot of things we can do to fix it. And it can be done on local, state, federal level if we all work collectively and put the good of the American people first and foremost.
Well, I heard of a minister, and his name just escapes me, a great minister, who said that a man that changes his home for the good of God can change his neighborhood, can change his church, can change the community. The community can change the state, and the state can change the country.
That's exactly right.
And that's where it has to begin, is we got to get fathers back in the home.
Yep.
And we've got to get people understanding that the government is not your sugar daddy, because there
are... It's your wannabe.
Yeah, because the government has no money except for the tax dollars paid in by the
business
citizens.
Owners and the citizens, and that dollar amount is shrinking because businesses are closing. People aren't going back to work. So, you know, it's not, we know what works for this nation. Now we just need to put those best practices into play so that we can build a stronger economy in New Mexico, in America, you know, globally. I mean, we know how to do it. We've just got to find the political will and the people willing to stand up and say, it's time to take our country back.
Absolutely. And one of those is going to be those Trump tax cuts that provided more taxes being paid in because more people went to work and got better wages.
That's right. Because they had more money in their pockets.
That's it.
You know, and we need to start thinking for ourselves and stop allowing the national media and Twitter and X and everything else to drive the narrative. You know, we are better than that. We can think. We are smarter than that. You know, do our due diligence. See these voting records. Look at what's really happening in Washington. You know, saying one thing in district, voting another way is wrong on every level.
Absolutely.
You know, just be honest. You're for the open border. You know, just say it, you know, if that's what your game is. But don't come back and try to pull the wool over the people's eyes of New Mexico when they're counting on good governance. And right now we need a change on a variety of levels. So
absolutely. Well, Bob does this an awful lot with you and a lot of other people and stuff. And so, Yvette, it's down towards the end of this conversation and stuff. We've actually gone pretty good.
I know it.
I love it. So, but Yvette, 30 seconds or so here. Tell people why people need to vote for Yvette Harrell for Congressional District 2.
Yeah, because it's not about party. It's about people. It's about making sure that we have a sound future for the generations yet to come and for our own kids and grandkids. It's about securing American sovereignty. It's about our national security. It's about making tough decisions that'll put more money back in the pockets of every single taxpayer in this nation. It's about ensuring that we have a nation that's strong, that's robust, and that's, in this state, competitive. It's about securing American energy. And above all else, it's about putting God back in the conversations. It's about getting God back where he belongs. You know, when they took him out of schools, we started seeing that fracturing. It's about not being ashamed to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, I'm an American, I'm a New Mexican, and I want my country and my state back. So I'm just going to keep working hard and praying hard and building relationships, because there's too much at stake. And every veteran and every veteran family, they understand the price of freedom. And we have an obligation, I think, to pick up and carry on what our military people are doing for us. And it's our responsibility.
There you go. Folks, former Congresswoman Yvette Harrell, soon to be Congresswoman Yvette Harrell again, I encourage you to get out and vote, and vote for Yvette Harrell. Yvette, thank you. Always happy to have you in the studio.
Anytime. I love it. It's so much more fun in the studio.
Yeah, it is. Right? I'll admit, I've always enjoyed the phone conversations, but having you here with us, it's just more fun.
I love it too.
There you go. Yvette Harrell.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.